All right, we will go ahead and get started. This is Dan here in Nevada. I run the Success Center. I think I've met most of you guys before. I'm doing the call for Rick today. I'm really excited about today's call. Actually, it's a great topic that I think will really help you guys. So that being said, we'll have a few more people jumping on the call in the next couple minutes here. But the topic is getting listings from your database. So there's a few things we'll talk about. And just as a reminder, if you guys make sure to just mute your phones, there's going to be a few questions that I have for you guys, but just make sure to mute it so there's no background noise. It'll make it hard to hear. So getting listings from your database, a few things that we'll talk about. The first thing, we're going to talk about what your database actually is, why you should focus on it, some mistakes that I made because I'm an agent here. For those of you who don't know me, let me start there. I'm an agent here in Nevada. This is my fifth year in the business. This year, track and do just about 100 deals, a little bit less than that. And I run the Success Center here, so we train and role play pretty much every day for about an hour a day. So you guys should come down if you haven't already. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the mistakes that I've made. The benefit of me doing these calls and talking to you guys is that I'm actually in the business. I can kind of relate to the things that you have going on. So we'll talk about some of the mistakes I've made. And then the last thing, probably the most important part of the call, we'll talk about specific action steps, things that I want you guys to do that you can literally hang up the phone and start doing today. Guys, just make sure to mute your phones for those of you just jumping on the call, just to make it a little bit easier to hear. So again, getting listings from your database. First, we're going to talk about what it is, why you should work it, the mistakes that I made that you should hopefully not make, and then some specific action steps, things that you can do today to start getting some deals from your database. So first of all, I want to hear from you guys. Does anyone know what the definition is of someone who's in your database? This is tricky, and that word gets thrown around, your SOI, your database, your center of influence. There's a specific criteria for someone that belongs in your database. Does anyone know what that is? There's actually two.
Hi, Dan. Database would be a person who would going to refer your business for the next 3 to 6 months.
Okay, perfect. So that's one of the two criteria. I think that's Murad. And yes, 100% agree with that. What would the other criteria be? Does anyone know?
Somebody you had business with.
Yeah, so you're on the right track. So one is they have to know you on a first name basis. And this is really important. This is a huge mistake that agents make. I ask them, hey, how many people you have in your database? And they say, oh, I don't know, 4,000, 5,000. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if all those people know you on a first. Now, that's possible. If you've been in the business 20 years, that's possible. But for the average agent, you probably don't know 4,000 to 5,000 people on a first name basis who are willing to send you referrals. So the two criteria are they know you on a first name basis, meaning if I call you and you answer the phone and I say, hey, this is Dan, you don't say who, you know exactly who I am, right? And then the second criteria is they have the ability to positively impact your business, which, Murad, that was perfect, the example that you gave. Basically meaning if they're a realtor licensed in your state, they wouldn't really go in your database, right? Unless there was some arrangement that you had, obviously. They don't really have the ability to positively impact you. Or if someone moved out of state and has no connection to where you live anymore and doesn't know anyone there, and really there's no relationship there anymore, then yeah, I probably wouldn't consider them part of your database. So those are the two criteria. We want to be very clear about that. That's actually really important because if you're not clear about it, then you don't really have a defined database. You just have all these names and numbers and there's no, we want to have some clarity about who that actually is. Guys, just make sure to mute your phones. I got a lot of background noise, makes it a little bit hard to hear. So that's what it is. Second thing I want to talk about is why you should work it and the mistake that I made. So for those of you who don't know me, I moved from New Jersey to Vegas and I knew zero people here. I started here about 5 years ago. I knew zero people, which is a blessing and a curse. I started my business basically by prospecting expired listings only. That was like pretty much all that I did. I did some other things, but that was really what got me most of the results. And it was great. I mean, I developed my skill sets. I made a good amount of money for a new agent, more than most. It worked out really well for me, and I learned some of the fundamental skills of real estate very, very quickly. The problem, though, was that I had the excuse in my head, oh, well, I don't know anyone here, so I have to do this. And I see a lot of agents do this. Well, I don't have anyone in my database, so I have to hold open houses. I have to door knock, and I get that. I do. You do have to do that. I did do that, too. But the mistake that I made was that I let it become an excuse for not developing my database for too long. It took me too long to start doing it because I always just had that limiting belief in my head. Oh, I don't really know anyone here. Well, everyone knows someone. As soon as you move somewhere, you know someone. And if you don't know someone immediately, you should start meeting people immediately, right? So that's one of the mistakes I made. And just to give you guys a clear example of this, what I learned was this. I could prospect expired listings. I'm pretty good at it. My skill set is better than average. I'm not the best, but I would say I'm better than average. And I learned that if I prospected expired listings for 24 hours a day, never slept, never ate, never took a break, I just literally called 24 hours a day. I ran the numbers because I'm an analytical person, and I realized that I would still do less business than some people, even in my market, not even in other markets, but I would still do less business if I did that than some people who work in the same market as me. Can anyone explain why that is? Any ideas?
Because they have people who are giving them business that they don't even have to work for.
That's exactly right. Yeah, perfect answer. So what happens is when you're prospecting, you're trading your time for money, right? And you have to do that. You always have to do that to a certain degree, but it's a very active process. I'm trading my time, calling, and I get a commission check as a result. Now, expired listings are very efficient. It's a great way to trade your time for money. It's very profitable. But it's still trading my time for money. When you start developing relationships, one relationship can literally pour just tons and tons and tons of revenue onto your business without a large time commitment. Now, it's not predictable the way that prospecting is. That's part of the problem why you have to do the other forms of generating leads that we talk about. But that's really why that should be your long-term goal, because people who have these relationships, they can exponentially grow their business because it doesn't require an intensive time or money commitment. It also doesn't cost anything. For you to have a relationship with someone and be a good person doesn't really require a whole lot of time or money, right? You have to check in with them every now and then, ask them questions. You have to have some skills with relationship building, but it's not really time intensive. So that's why you should really, really focus on this, because that's where all the gold is in our business. And that's why if you ask any of the top agents in your office, I guarantee this, and I don't even know, you know, the agents in all the offices, but I know the way the business works. If you ask the top agents in your office where they get most of their business, the majority of them are going to say, not social media, not door knocking, not cold calling. The majority of them are going to say, I get it from my database. Okay, so that's why we need to maintain a focus on that. Now, the other methods, you guys know I'm the biggest advocate of learning the skills of drumming up business from scratch, of cold calling, door knocking, holding open houses, doing whatever it takes. I'm the biggest advocate in the world of that. I believe in it so deeply. It helps develop your skills. It helps teach you how to handle objections. It teaches you the fundamentals of real estate. But we don't want to get caught in this rat race and churning this wheel of clients coming in and out and not developing any long-term relationships, because that's where you can really, really grow your business. Okay, so the last thing I'll say about this before we get into some action steps, and you guys can ask any questions if you have questions. The last thing is one contact to someone that you know, a good contact to someone that you know on a first name basis who has the ability to positively impact your business is literally worth about 100 cold calls. One contact to someone that you know on a first name basis is worth about 100 cold calls. So the first exercise that I have every agent do who comes into the Success Center, whenever I have new agents ask me, Dan, what should I do? I'm brand new. What's the first thing that I should do? I tell everyone the same thing. No one does it, but I tell them the same thing. I say, take out your phone, go through every name in your phone book, and either call the person or take them out. Call the person and try and rebuild some relationship with them, okay? So here's just a few specific action steps. I'm going to try and get through as many of these as possible. These are things that you guys can do today. Relationship building versus direct ask. Okay, so the first thing you should do, like I said, you should call every single person who you know on a first name basis. Don't text them. Don't Facebook message them. There's a threshold that has to be hit with building a relationship that comes from either a phone call or a face-to-face visit. And you avoiding that is just avoiding what's uncomfortable. The comfortable thing would be to text them or to email them or to Facebook message them. The uncomfortable thing, because most people don't do it, is to call the person. But the calling is where the conversation is where all the relationship is built. Okay, so the first thing I would do is I would call every single person that you've been avoiding calling for a while. What's funny with working your database is that you guys who have been in the business a while can speak to this. The deals that you get from them, the referrals that you get, usually come from the places that you least expect it. Am I right with that? You usually don't expect when you're going to get a referral from someone. It usually comes from kind of out of the blue, okay, which means that if you're calling, I don't want you to just keep calling. When I tell you to call your database, I don't want you to hang up the phone today and then pick up the phone and call that person who you already kind of had in your mind, who's easy to talk to, who you call all the time and don't really get anything from. That's not going to advance your business anywhere, right? I want you to call the person that you're kind of uncomfortable, you haven't talked to them in a while. That's exactly who you should call. That's exactly the person who you should call if you're a little bit uncertain, a little bit uncomfortable. That means there needs to be some reconnecting done there. Okay, so how do you know if you should directly ask this person for business versus just try and reconnect, what I call like a reconnection call? How do you know which one of those two approaches you should use? I'm open to hear what you guys have to say. Any ideas? This is a tough one. Should you directly ask them for business, or should you reconnect with them and try and build a relationship? Which one of those two approaches? Obviously, both could work in certain circumstances, but how do you know which one to do?
Simultaneously, I would connect, ask them if they have any real estate needs, and check with them on a personal level at the same time, simultaneously.
Okay, good. Yeah, you could do both. This would be my recommendation. There's a thing called the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. You guys have probably heard about this. And it's definitely true with your database. What it means is, with regards to your database, most of your referrals will come from a very small group of people. Okay, the majority of the people in your database will just never send you a referral. It's just the way it works. They just don't. They're not that type of person. They aren't outgoing. They're not really willing to do that. They're not comfortable, whatever the reason is. So most of your referrals will come from about 20% of your database. That's like your A++++ list, right? Everyone has that. You have those few group of clients that are just great. They always talk about you. They always send you referrals. Those people, you have a license, hopefully, to ask them for referrals regularly. I actually call those people about once a month. And so a direct ask with those people is not a problem at all. What I would not do, my recommendation personally for what I would not do is I would not call someone that you haven't spoken to in 5 years that you might have kind of blown off and, you know, brushed off the relationship, which we all do. I'm guilty as anyone with this, probably more so. And then call that person and ask them for a referral is the first thing you talk about, okay? Because what does that communicate to them? What that communicates to them is basically, hey, I know I've been a crappy friend, but now I need your help, so I'm calling you, right? We don't want to do that. Now, I should say I would still rather you do that, actually, than not call the person at all. The worst thing you could do is not call the person at all. The second worst thing you could do would be to call them and then approach it that way. So then what do you do if you don't do that? Well, really what I would do is I would call them and apologize, which you honestly should do, and say, Hey, John, this is Dan. I hope you're doing well, man. I haven't spoken to you in a long time. I was just calling to apologize. I know you've had a few events. I know you've invited me over a few times. And, you know, I've just, for whatever reason, I just haven't made the right effort. But I wanted to reach back out to you, see how you're doing, just connect with you, see how things are going with you and your family. And, hey, by the way, let's grab lunch sometime. Let's catch up. Let's do dinner. I'm going to have a party in my house for the holidays, whatever it is. You should try and, when you're doing this reconnection call, you should be the metric should be to try and get some type of face-to-face interaction with this person to help rebuild the relationship, okay? Now, the combination approach that Murad mentioned also works well, but the way you don't want to do that is start the call off as with false pretenses. You guys know what I mean by that? So you don't want to start it off like, oh, hey, this is Dan, just catching up, wanted to see how you and the family were, and then do this slimy transition into, oh, yeah, and by the way, who else do you know? We don't want to do that, okay, because first that comes through. They know exactly what you're doing. It's extremely uncomfortable for both people. You don't want to do it that way. That's why I really, really do like the Mike Ferry script for asking for this type of call. And it starts off with, hey, this is a business call. Do you have a minute? The reason why I like that is because it relieves all of the tension in the conversation. If you just start it off and you're clear in your intentions, I mean, this is a life lesson, guys, right? Like, if you're clear in your intentions right from the beginning with people, they tend to respond a little bit better with you. So if you just call, I say, hey, Murad, this is Dan. Hope you're doing well. Just giving you a quick business call, actually. Do you have a minute? Murad says, yeah, sure. Hey, great. I'm actually calling all my clients. I know we've worked together. I know I've known you a while. I'm calling everyone that I know this time of year just to see who else you've been talking to. I know it's the holiday season. People are at parties. They're talking to each other. I was calling to see who else you know who really needs help with moving in the next couple of weeks. And then he's going to say, oh, no one, or I might know someone. And then you transition into the reconnection after that. You don't want to do it the opposite way. Okay, that's just my personal recommendation there. I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to that. You've had similar calls to that. Okay, so here's another quick tip. If you're actually working with buyers and sellers now, probably most of you have at least one. Okay, here's a mistake that I made. I made all of my business relationships just about business. Okay, so I'd work with buyers and sellers. I wouldn't ask them any questions about their personal life. I wouldn't ask them any questions about their family, their job, what their dream is, what they are looking to do in their life. So what would happen is I would have all these great customers. I'd sell their house. They'd be happy. We'd close, maybe even write me a review. Then I would call them every 90 days the way I'm supposed to, and they would just stop answering my calls eventually. And the relationship just kind of fizzled out. Does anyone know why that happened?
Because I think all you want to do is call to get business.
Sorry, say that again? I couldn't hear you. Okay, I couldn't quite hear it, but I think what they said, and I agree, is that I didn't build a bridge that transcended the real estate transaction. I didn't build any personal connection with this person. So as soon as the real estate transaction was over, they didn't really see any value in continuing to talk to me anymore. Okay, so you really need to make a conscious effort when you're working with buyers and sellers to build a relationship that transcends just the transaction. Okay, you want to build a bridge outside of real estate. So one thing you could do, I actually just literally tell them this sometimes, hey, John, just so you know, when we're done with this and I'm done selling the house, my goal is to keep the relationship with you long term. I want to be a resource for you, but also a friend to you. And so for me, this isn't just about selling your house. You know, I want to keep in touch with you. And just in case in the future, if there's anything I can help with or just as a general real estate resource for you, would that be okay? Oh, yeah, Dan, of course. We love that, right? That's how that conversation normally goes. So I would recommend including some type of script or dialogue like that with every client that you work with. Obviously, and then you have to make an effort to do that. One thing you can do is ask them questions. Everything in life comes down to asking good questions, right? So a framework for asking questions that we recommend is FORD, F-O-R-D. Does anyone know what that stands for?
Friends,
man, you guys are rough. Yep.
Recreation, motivation, money, media.
Yeah, so we use Ford with a D kind of replacing what you said at the end there as dream. So family, occupation, recreation, dream. Those are basically bullet points that you can ask questions to people about that help to build a personal connection. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy and cliche. That's what I thought when I first heard this, but these types of questions really go a long way building relationships with people because this is basically what, you know, what makes up someone's life, really. Their family, what's going on with their family, what's going on with their job, what do they do in their free time for fun, that's recreation, and dream, meaning what do they aspire to do, what's their long-term goal. And funny enough, the reason why these things are so great is because all of those relate to real estate, if there's changes in any of those four categories, it usually results in a real estate transaction. You guys understand that? So if there's a change in family, usually results in a real estate transaction, change in a job, change in recreation, or change in their long-term plan. All of that results in buying or selling typically. So those are just great questions to ask people. Another quick tip. Okay, here's another mistake. We're wrapping up here. We'll be done in a couple minutes. Every real estate transaction is bumpy. Okay, this is something that took me a long time to learn. When I first started, I thought, oh, well, I'll call the ones where everything goes nice and perfect and great. And, you know, if it goes less than perfect, then, you know, I'll kind of just keep in touch with them, but I won't really, no, like that doesn't work. What you learn in this business is every transaction has problems. You know, I think they've studied and shown that like 27 people, there's 27 parties who touch one real estate file. You guys understand that? So I could be world class and amazing in my customer service the way we should be, and other people could still screw it up. Ultimately, we don't have all of the control that we'd like to have when it comes to this stuff. So every transaction, I'm not saying it should be this way, but you have to come to grips with the reality that real estate deals are bumpy. They're always emotional. There's a natural emotional process that goes along with it. That's kind of why we exist, to be honest. That's kind of why we get paid, is to help be an emotional buffer. Because if it wasn't emotional at all, then they wouldn't really need us. They could just interact with each other. So every deal is bumpy. You have to get over it. The day the deal closes, you're going to have clients. Here's something that everyone on this call can do today. I guarantee you, you have one client, if you've been in the business, not if you're brand new, but if you've been in the business, you have one client that you've avoided calling after the deal is closed. And I would implore you to call them today. And the first thing you could say to them is, hey, John, this is Dan. I just wanted to call to apologize. Dan, what do you mean? Why are you apologizing? Well, just because I know things didn't go so great at the end of the transaction there, but I did want to reach out, see if there's anything I can do to help, see if you have any questions or concerns. I've made so many of these calls before, and they always go amazing. These are some of the best calls I make to my database because it means so much. No one does this. You guys understand that? No one does this. It means so much to people. First of all, you should have done this a while ago, but the fact that you haven't is okay. Call them today. It'll go so far to rebuild a relationship. You get paid in this business to solve problems. You don't want to just avoid problems. If your mentality is, oh, I'm going to avoid making this phone call because what if they have a problem? What if the house they bought, there's an issue with it and, you know, they don't like it. And then I'm calling them and I'm the realtor to help them buy the house. Well, if there's a problem, they need help solving it, or they're going to sell the house and they're going to pick someone to sell the house, right? Hopefully that person could potentially be you. But if you don't call them and attempt to solve the problem, what value are you bringing to this person? So you want to lean into these problems. I'm looking forward to problems happening after my transaction because I know they always happen. There's nothing I can do to stop that. It's a natural part of the world. It's the realistic way things happen. There's going to be problems. Lean into those. I encourage you to call your clients and ask them for problems because that's where you can actually bring value and help them and actually build the relationship a little bit. Okay, one last thing that everyone can do. Just make sure to mute your phones, guys. It's still a little bit of feedback. One last thing that everyone can do, I would recommend you take out a piece of paper. This is especially if you're brand new or if you're in the business and you haven't really worked your database in a while. I would suggest you take out a piece of paper and you write down the names of everyone in your database. There's magic here to writing it, not typing it, not thinking about it, not doing a note in your iPhone, but actually putting pen to paper and writing down the names of everyone that's in your database because it creates awareness in your brain. It creates awareness, okay? So I would write down the names of everyone that knows you, and here's the two criteria when you're going through, just as a reminder. Does this person know me on a first-name basis? And would they be willing to send me referrals if I asked for it? Okay, so if someone's, again, married to another realtor who works in your market, probably not willing to send you referrals, although it's happened before, and things change, we all know that, but for the time being, probably wouldn't work. Quick question you can ask someone to determine if they should go in your database or not. I could ask John, if I haven't talked to him in a while, hey, John, so when you talk to someone who needs help with real estate, who do you normally refer them to? If John says, I don't know, I don't really have someone. Hey, great.
Huh?
Could I be that person in the future if you talk to someone? Yeah, of course, Dan. No problem with that. I actually just had a pool built in my house, one of the biggest pool builders in the valley here, and I asked the guy, the general contractor, that question. I was like, I assumed in my brain, okay, this guy's got to know someone, right? They have so many relationships. I said, hey, who do you normally talk to when it comes to people actually buying or selling? He said, I don't really know, actually, Dan. We don't really have someone. Okay, great. I just got, you know, a relationship with one of the biggest companies here in town that way, just because I asked. So that's a great question you can ask. It's a litmus test to determine whether someone should go in your database or not. Here's what will happen when you do this exercise. You'll learn that you have way less people than you thought you did. You'll learn that there's not as many people as you thought, which is okay. You need to know this. You need to come to terms with reality so that you can work on this. The rule of thumb that we say is 10% of the number of people you have in your database will result directly in real estate transactions per year. You have 100 names, that's 10 deals. 1,000 names, that's 100 deals. And there's a lot of magic to that equation. For some reason, it's really weird in how it works. But, okay, like I said before, if you have 4,000 numbers and emails of people that don't know who you are, that doesn't count. So you need quality relationships as far as what you're looking to build here. So that's all I got for today, guys. Hopefully you took some value out of that. Hopefully you can apply some of those tips. Thanks so much for listening in. Go call your database today, get some deals, and let me know about it after you do. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.